I want to talk today about margin. Everybody say margin. And what I specifically want you to understand is, we'll let George be God today, and Brian will be the world and the culture of the world. Hey, it's just an example, all right? Don't get all freaked out. Brian is a man of God. Somebody say amen to this. But tonight, he's going to be our example of a worldly culture, whatever that means. If you're not sure what it means, just turn on social media. It would take about 30 seconds to figure it out. Hey, man, turn on the television. It would take about 10 seconds to figure it out. I want you to understand what I say about margin is, what I want you to do is what we hear the Holy Spirit saying, drawing close to God. Amen. And as you draw close to God, he draws close to you. Amen. And you start walking in his blessings. Amen. But what you're doing automatically as you're drawing close to God, you're separating yourself from the culture. You're separating yourself. And I want you to get the visual, because for many of you, you were very close to the secular, ungodly, Babylonian culture. Does that make sense? And I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for one person. Maybe it's for eight people. Maybe it's for 38 people. Maybe it's for every single person in this room. I do not know. That's not up to me to know. Please understand this. If I'm saying something that doesn't apply to you, the only thing you should be saying is amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because it is an opportunity to drive something true deeper, which you might not need now, but you might need in 3 weeks from now. And the Bible says you need to be careful that you don't fall into, you know what the Bible says? That God resists the proud. So I've taught you this before, but don't think that you don't need to hear this message. Because my thought is, God knows what we need to hear. And maybe at this point in time, maybe you're closer to Jesus, maybe you're closer to God, and maybe you have drawn away, and there is a big margin. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us to not grow weary in doing good just because it has nothing, just because, we're trying to fill up lines in a blank sheet of paper. It tells you don't grow weary in doing good because God knows that there is a ability for you to get tired in doing the right thing. And reverting back to how you used to be. Remember when Jesus whooped on Satan, and Satan said, "Ooh, this," and God said, "No, let me tell you, it's written." And he said, "Well, what about this?" And he said, "No, it's written." And he said, "What about this?" And he said, "Oh, it's written." And you know what? And Satan got tired of getting whooped. But it doesn't say that Satan left forever. It says that Satan left for an opportune time. So my thought is, there might be some people who have large margins. Margin is just a space, a big space between them and Satan. And I would say, good, listen to this message, because I believe God has a word for you. Amen. But I believe in the room this size, with this many people in this room, that there's also some people who used to be real close to God. And sometimes just in the busyness of life. How many know Satan's attack on us is an incremental attack? And so sometimes if he can just get us busy doing something that might not even seem ungodly, but it is in its nature because it's drawing us a little farther back from God. How many know Satan is deceptive? And so we step back. You know, how many have looked in your rearview mirror and it says something in the rearview mirror that, you know, items might not seem as they are? Hello? Well, Satan does the same thing. And so as we are getting farther away from God, it's like, oh, no, I'm still okay. He's the deceiver. And he'll be the first one to tell, no, you still love God? No. I know that you're not serving anymore. You know what? But, you know what? Hey. Let's not get legalistic here. It's interesting to me, you know what? Say, how many know Satan will use the truth and he'll distort it? We're not talking about being legalistic. We're talking about what the Bible says, and the Bible says that we are to be imitators of God, and nobody served like God served. Amen. And this thought that, you know what, well, I'm just, you know what, God knows my heart. You know what? God does know your heart. The question is, do you know your heart? Amen. Come on, say amen to this. The question is, do you have enough integrity to look at your actions and see what's really going on in your life instead of just acting like everything's okay because you accepted Jesus in 1978 and spoke in tongues at a church camp? Hallelujah. I like what my brother-in-law has on his refrigerator. He says, yesterday's home run doesn't win today's ball game. And just like the sweet spot is today, that's a sweet spot to Jesus. And he is looking for you to draw close to him today. He's looking for you tomorrow. He's looking for you to draw close to him tomorrow. You know what? This thought of, you know what? Notice, the manna that God prepared was only good for one day. You think that's coincidental? No, that's purposeful. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you are close to God today or that you're drifted back. But my thought is, in this room, there's probably people in everywhere in between. And even if you're way over here, I hear God saying to you, you know what? There's still a closer place that you can be in the things of God. Amen. See, think about it. Think about it for a minute. Is anybody to the place where they can say, I just can't even get any closer to God? Because if you can say that, I think there's some pride in your life. And I think your thought is proof that you are farther away from, you might be not so close as you think. And my thought is, how many know that as we preach, we need to preach in the prophetic? I heard one man who has mentored me for a long, 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 long time. And he said this. He said, we ought to preach in the prophetic. So let me say prophetically in this room. But my thought is that there is more than one, and more than 10, and more than 20 who have drawn back and are closer to the culture that they've been delivered from than they need to be. And you need to not take for granted the grace of God. Amen. Now, listen to me. If that's you, don't freak out. Because God is speaking to you because he loves you. And he, you know what he said? I forget which brother it was. Pastor Paul, maybe you can help me out. Which brother did he say, hey, God is right there at the door. All you have to do is, who are the sons of, you guys are funny. Who are the sons of Adam? So he's talking to Cain. He's saying, hey, Cain. You know, it's interesting to me because when sometimes we're not where we should be. And we think that God isn't trying to speak. We think God isn't in love with us. You know, we think that a corrective word isn't a loving word. No. No, it's a loving God that's saying, hey, all you have to do is receive my corrective word. How many of you, God is not an impunitive God? I'm going to let you, he is so quick to say, let's move on. You think if when you don't turn to God and say, God, man, what am I doing? Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, he's so, what? Draw close to God. And he'll draw close to you. Do you catch that? See, no. Understand the character of God. Amen? All right, can I show you some things in the Word? How many know this is going to be a good night? Can somebody say amen to this? Can somebody go like this? Ooh, it's going to be good. Can somebody say, oh, I need to hear this tonight. Amen. Okay, so, Pastor, how long are you going to preach? I got 15%, okay? And I got 8 pages of notes. So as soon as my 15% is done, we're done, okay? Yeah. How do you like that one? Amen? That's pretty funny, huh? Okay. Okay. So. Job says, I'm not at ease. Nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. How many feel you can feel that way sometimes? James says this. James says, whereas do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Say, Pastor, why you point this up? Here's why I point this up. Because I want to make sure you do not take an assumption of the grace of God. You know the Bible says? Draw close to God while you have the opportunity. How many know God is long-suffering? How many know God is long-suffering? How many thank God that when you were smoking your doobies, you know what I mean? And your stuff, amen, that God was gracious day after day, week after week, month after month. How many thank God for that? But here's what happens. You know what? We can get deceived in thinking, you know what, and walking, you know, and here, let me say this, and walking out of love with people. I don't know who this is for. Listen to me. Couples. Husbands, love your wives. Period. Period. Yeah, but she ticks me off. Yeah, well, okay, I'll say it righteously. Shutteth thou attitude. Amen. Amen. Wives, honor your husbands. Honor them. Amen. Honor them. Whatever the issue is, forgiving or, you know what, whatever, you know, having sex outside of marriage. Oh, Pastor, no, you know what I mean? Because,
Well, you are, you know, what kind of dinosaur are you? You know what I mean? That's how we roll nowadays. You know what I mean? We're just, it's just what we do. You know what I mean?
Oh, let me tell you about God. God doesn't change his mind. Amen. Might be okay, you know what, some teacher at the high school, you know what, might be okay for the administrators, you know what, the public school. You know, they might be passing out condoms, you know what, to high schoolers and junior hires. But let me tell you what, God isn't passing out no condoms. Oh, please, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And your and our presumption that we could just keep on walking in bad attitudes and unforgiveness and treating our husband or a wife, you know what, being, yeah, but they did some. Well, hey, listen to what the Bible says. You know what, don't let the sun set on your anger. Get over it, amen? You know, tell your spouse you're mad at them. Ah! And then give him a big kiss and say, but you're forgiven. Amen. 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 Why? Because God forgave me, so I'm going to forgive you. Isn't that what the Bible says? My point is, I'm bringing this scripture up because we think we've always going to have another day, another day, another day, another day to get it together. And God says, no, today is the sweet spot. Today is the day that I want you to walk in forgiveness. Today is the day that I want you to be generous. Today is the day. Be generous with your kindness. Amen. Be generous with everything. Be generous with your kindness. Be generous with your with your graciousness. Be generous with your finances. Amen. I said, be generous with your finances. Amen. Amen. My point is bringing this passage up is, you know what? Don't always think you're going to have another day, you know what, to turn to God and hang out with God as you continue to be in and close to the society that won't give you anything. Amen? Hey, come to this. You know, if you needed, if you had to get one, I mean, you know, get it many, but one great revelation to get. You know what? We're reading John right now. You know what? One great revelation to get out of John is John 10:10. When Jesus says, let me tell you what, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Start to understand who's on the good side and who's on the bad side. Amen? God's on the good side. Satan didn't tell you nothing that's going to be good for you. Amen. And don't think that you always, one of his lies is, oh, you got, you know what, you got tomorrow. Mm-mm. You said, but Pastor, are you saying Jesus is going to come tomorrow? Here's what I'm saying. Maybe he will and maybe he won't. Because I don't know. Here's what I sense. Here's what I hear God saying over and over. I've heard prophetically this in 1 month. I've heard this prophetically with not me trying to drum it up. I don't say, hey, John, tell him. This is off. Hey, John, tell him that Jesus Christ is coming soon. You know what? It'll help me motivate him later on. I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell Pastor George that. The person that, I forget where we were, but I heard somebody else prophetically say this. Why is that? Here's why. Because I believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon. But let's say Jesus Christ isn't coming back for 3 years. How many know we need to get on it this week? Amen. How many know we need to build the outdoor project? How many know we need to build that soon? Amen? Amen. Can you say amen to this? How many know we need to fill this place up Sunday? This Sunday we need to fill this place up. Amen. Can I? This is a side note, but this is really important because there's so many people here. Please listen to me. Please, 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 please. Pretty please. Because I love so many people that aren't even in church. You make a point that nothing is going to keep you from church this Sunday. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? For two reasons. One, because my thought is, and I recognize that the understanding of God is, what's that word, Paul, I'm looking for? It's one thing builds on another thing and it builds on another. What? It's progressive. And so you start coming every Sunday and my preaching is going to get better. Amen? Can you say amen to this? Man, because the one thing builds on the other thing and builds on the other thing and builds on the other thing. And how many believe my preaching is getting better? But understand, it has to some extent, it has to do with my mouth and my heart. And a great extent, it has to do with your ears and your heart. Amen. Can you say amen? But you come every single Sunday and you start understanding a lot more things. That, you know, how many know Satan would love for you to miss a lot of the preaching in the sweet spot? I said, how many know Satan would like for you to miss a lot of that stuff? And you think casually, like, well, you know what? Well, you know, it's back to that stuff. Eh, you know what? Well, let's not be a legalist. You know what I mean? I said, hey, let's be disciplined, amen? Let's not be so, you know, casual in our Christianity. Number one. And number two, you know what? You've got a responsibility for, you know how we had a slew load of people come in for the first time Sunday. Amen? And when they come in Sunday and it just sporadically, oh man, God help me to speak tonight. It's sporadically, you know what? I'm telling you what, their perception is different. See, how many of you know I got a responsibility to show up Sunday and preach the word? Can you say amen? You got a responsibility to come this Sunday that's equal to mine to come and hear the word. Amen. Oh, amen. This is good. Amen. Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes, Pastor, that's a bunch of hooey. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of trash that you've been, you know what, and you're living. I preach a great sermon. Look it up on the internet. It's called a Run to Mediocrity. No. Listen. God is calling you to be a mighty man and woman of God and to be a mani-muni-muni-muni-ba. Man, is he preaching or speaking in tongues right now? And for you to be a mighty man of God or woman of God, that's what I was trying to say. Mani-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni-muni word in and put the word in and put the word in and put the word in. Amen. Amen. I am going to get through James, I promise you. The point is, there's this assumption that I got as much time as I want. And God is speaking to you today, and he's saying, today is the day for you to repent and draw close to me. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Write this down. For those of you who are graduating this week from Academy Righteousness Level 1, I salute you. I'm proud of you, and And I am excited that you are graduating and will have the ability to get in level two. My first point, say no to many good things so you can say yes to the best things. See, Satan will disguise evil and call it good. And you're like, oh, well, it's not, you know, somebody's going to go to hell for that. You know, it's like a strain. No, that's just jive talk. That's just you conning yourself. You know, how many know, I don't know what you like. You know what I mean? You know, let's say I came in and I had a red jacket. You know what I mean? And let's say it was hideous. You know, the other day I went downstairs and I put this awesome outfit on. And I came upstairs, true story, I came upstairs with my white skinny jeans, my bright blue t-shirt, and a gray sweater. And I came in thinking, oh man, my wife is gonna go, you look good. It was this Sunday, and I thought, you know what? I mean, I'm like you. You know what? We had a guest. I want to make sure, you know what? I look nice for Dr. Salico and his, or Dr. Nolte and his wife. You know what I mean? I want to make sure I look nice. So I spent some time. I said, no, that doesn't look good. Took that off. You know, put something. No, that doesn't look good. Boom. Finally, I come up with white jeans and a nice blue T-shirt and my gray sweater, and I come upstairs looking fine. And my wife, and I said, honey, how do I look? She said, Drew, take that off and take that off quickly. Amen? Amen? And it wasn't like a good take that off. It was, come on. Hello? Come on, somebody. Some of you are going to get that on the way home. It was like, that's not good. So, Pastor, what's your point? I have no idea what my point was. Somebody help me out. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Amen. My thought is sometimes you think something's good and it's not good. Right? Sometimes it's, no. Let me tell you what. And you need to be sensitive to the things of God to recognize what Satan is trying to do is to deceive you to do something that is good. But watch this. When you're doing something good, but you're not doing what God asked you to do, that's not a good thing. And all kinds of other people can look, and you can fool yourself. How many know one of the craziest deceptions is self-deception? And you can walk in self-deception and nobody can, but let me tell you what, when you choose good over what God is telling you to do, it is not a good thing. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of, how can you start to make a distinction between what's good and what God is saying? By reading your Bible every day, by coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and you start fine-tuning, you start getting close to the frequency of God, and it's clear, oh my goodness, that looks good, but that is not good. You know, you can fool some people, but you can't fool me because I'm spending time in the Word and I'm spending time with God and I'm starting to be sensitive to what God is telling me. Do you understand? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things. Seek. Listen, this awesome life that God has for you, it's not automatic. I hear God saying this. There's got to be, I you know what, last week, you know, you want to listen to something, get it in your spirit. Listen to the sermon before Dr. Nolte came. We talked about drawing close to God. And as you draw close to God, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood. We talked about the men who got up on the roof and opened that thing up. We talked about the blind man. And every single one of them, they needed to press in to the things that God is saying. We need to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Look at this next verse. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of this earth. You know, if I could say one thing for young people, I'd say this. Hey, get your mind out of the cultural stuff. Don't spend so much time on social media. Amen. Because all that stuff, almost all that stuff is tied into the culture. And what you've got to do is you've got to be disciplined and set your mind on the thing. You say, yes, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. The junior hires and the high schoolers need to hear that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, let me talk to the older people for a little bit. They do need to hear it. But we need to hear it, amen. You know, you can start listening to so much political stuff. I heard somebody say the other day, I thought this was so good. He said, you know what? You watch this political stuff, and all they have is they got two guys on this side and two guys on that side, and they just argue for, you know, a whole minute and a half because nobody really has, watch this. The news does this. Nobody has time to really articulate any nuance that might really matter. Because you only have, you know what, a 30 seconds, and you got 34 seconds, and you got 32 seconds. And we're supposed to get some depth in this. And they go, oh, this has been a great session, you know, but we need to move on. Hasn't been a great session. It's been stupid. It's been a waste of time. And you're going to listen to that dribble for hour after hour after hour after hour. You know what? And you're going to call it godly. You know what? Because you're on this group. I say, you know what? You know what? You just wasted 3 hours listening to just people arguing. What a waste of time. What a waste of time. You know what your life is? Your life is time. That's all you got. And you only have so much of it. So, you know what? Do I need to preach to this group and tell them? You know what? Turn off the social media? Absolutely. But do I need to teach? We need to preach to this group. I'm asking, do we? I say, yes, we do. I say, how in the world are they supposed to do it if we're not their example in what they're supposed to do? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm gonna buy this tape. Amen. This is good tape. I'm gonna buy this one. Pastor, we don't have tapes anymore. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 8-track. That's funny. We must be aware of the pull towards this corrupt culture. Don't be ignorant to Satan's devices. There's a pull. And you know what? I'm gonna stop here. But there's this pull towards this crazy culture. You know what we're called to do? We're called to be set apart. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Oh, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. When we're dating, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God, that's true. But how many know there's all kinds of truth in that? How many know that applies to more than just dating? So interesting, because I hear these and just read your Bible. Just read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and start to notice it. You know, I used to hear preachers and evangelists talk about, you know what, how much we needed to be close. And you know what, my wife heard it. Somebody recently talked about, going to the strip clubs. Is this not right? Is this not true? Was it the strip clubs he was talking about? Oh, the Playboy Mansion. Oh, yeah, the Playboy Mansion. You know, and when people, and when the Christian audience was like, you know what, Scooby-Doo, huh? You know, this guy got self-righteous and said, "See, that's your," he called it religiosity. And I thought, oh my goodness, here's a thought. Why don't you read your Bible? Because let me tell you who accused God of hanging out with the drunkards. Do you know who accused him of that? And the prostitutes. You know who accused him of that? The Sadducees and the priests. The most religious people. How many know they lied about Jesus and all kinds of things? And see, the Bible says we've got to rightfully divide the word of truth. You know, just because you hear somebody say it, you don't want to read it. Read what it says. Start paying attention. I guarantee if Jesus here, he wouldn't be passing out, you know, flyers to Hope Community Church in front of the strip club. I guarantee you he wouldn't do that. But I guarantee you, if Jesus Christ, being the man of God that he was, so separated from the world, can I tell you why the strippers were going to Jesus? Can I tell you why? Because he wouldn't compromise. See, read it. He didn't go to them. They came to him. See, I'm saying we've got to recognize the pull to the world, and we've got to pull ourselves away from the world. And the more that we pull ourselves away from the world, the more, you know, the Bible says, let your light so shine that men will, let your light so shine. He's talking about in this dark world. You start shining your life. You start drawing close to Jesus, and you're going to start acting like Jesus and forgiving like Jesus, and you will look different than everybody else. And the unrighteous will come to you. So I'll close where I started. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're really close to Jesus right now. And you're spending time in the Word, and you're spending time with Him, and it's just good. I'd say, don't grow weary in doing good. I would say to you, there's even, what I sense is, there's even a deeper place that God wants you to go. And then if you're any place here, I'd say, listen, it's the love of God that he has to you that he sends this message to you tonight. Recognize the world has nothing for you. Recognize Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And turn and draw close to God. And just like the example of that father, the Bible says that he saw his son far off and he ran to him. That's the character of God. That's the image of God. That's the type and shadow of who God the Father is. And all you have to do is just turn. and start walking towards God, you won't take but three steps and he'll be right there with you saying, hey, we got this. Thank you. If something has been said, spoke to any of you in any of that spectrum, I want to raise your hands. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to be bold. Don't be afraid to confess. To say, man, I needed this message. All over the room, Father, you see our hands up. Whether it's forgiving a spouse, whether it's loving a wife, whether it's not honoring a husband, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's smoking dope or you know what, drinking and getting drunk, whether it's or anything in between, or whether it's just watching a bunch of junk on TV or whatever it is, I don't know, but you know, and you see all the hands that are up. Father, I thank you for a church who is quick to repent. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.